This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم أما بعد فإن خير الحديث كتاب الله تعالى وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار أما بعد. I hope with the passage of time that we have not grown too comfortable with what is happening to ourselves. I don't want to say to our brothers and sisters, to ourselves in Gaza. I hope with each day and each night and with each image and with each report, we're not getting used to it. And that our outrage and our anger is not subsiding because few weeks have passed. Because something so senseless and so heartless should never be normal. And we should never be okay with the fact that people are being slaughtered in that manner. Not only people, but the most innocent of them, the children, are being slaughtered in that manner for no purpose. So if we are losing our anger, I encourage you to find it. If we're losing our outrage, if we are not making as much dua, if we're not caring as much, then I urge you to go back to the very first days of when that happened. Remember the feeling. Remember the intensity. Remember the resolve. Because this should teach us a valuable lesson about how we are supposed to live. To ask ourselves, if this were to end a day from today, or a week, or a month from today, will your life afterwards go back to what it was before? Will your life after all of this go back to what it was before? Or will this change it? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى يحب لأخيه ما يحب لنفسه. One of you does not have iman until they love for their brother what they love for themselves. So when you look at what is happening to them, if you feel that it's somebody else's problem but it's not mine, somebody else's concern, but that's not mine because after all, I don't come from there. I don't speak their language. If that is the feeling that you and I are having, then we have to go back and question the very iman that we have, because this is what the Prophet ﷺ said, you will not have iman until you love for them what you love for themselves, for yourself, meaning you see them as you see yourself and you see yourself as you see them. If someone does not have clean water to drink, if they don't have enough water, enough food to eat, that they are going hungry and their children are going hungry, that the water that they're drinking is making them sick, then when they sleep, they don't know if they're going to see the next day. And if this is fine for all of us, just because I feel this is somebody else's problem, then there is something wrong with our understanding of our iman and our practice of it. We need to prioritize the Islamic connection, not the national connection, not the ethnic connection. You shouldn't care about something simply because you come from that area and that is it. Because you simply look like the people over there or speak the same language. That land and every Muslim land belongs to you if you are pleasing to Allah and His Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. It becomes your burden and your concern. And if you are not such a person, then you're not going to care about it. So you don't prioritize your land of birth just simply because you were born there and ignore a land that is suffering simply because you don't have connections to it. If you have Islam and you have Iman, that is your land. And you are responsible for it. And you are the one who will carry its burden. And you're the one who is charged with its responsibility. So these fake borders and fake classifications and nationalism that divides Muslims, you're this and I am that, that needs to go away. You need to see yourself first and foremost, not as a nationality, but as a Muslim. Not as a color, but as a Muslim. Not as a gender, but as a Muslim. Primarily a Muslim, not as a tribe, but as a Muslim. And all the other considerations are secondary or not important. But this is what you need to do. Because if you ignore them now, because you are not of them and they are not of you, there is going to come a time when you will be the one who is suffering. And if it's not you, then it's your children. And if it's not your children, rest assured, your grandchildren. And they will cry out and other Muslims will say, well, we don't have a connection to you. So if you worry about them, you really are worrying about yourself. This is not normal. And what it also exposes, it also tells us a lot about how we are supposed to live. That is, if you were to ask yourself this simple question, what are you living for? Not simply the fact that Allah put me on this earth, I'm just going to keep eating and drinking until I die. Or maybe waiting for death. If Allah Azza wa Jalla had given you an existence which in itself is a gift, an opportunity to do something, what are you living for? If you were to be asked that question, what would that answer be? I'm living for what? And the answer demonstrates itself in how you actually live, not how do you tell us. So before all this happened, what were your concerns in mind? What were you worried about? If the answer came back, I was worried about what to eat, what to drink, where am I going to travel, and what to buy, meaning all physical activities and consumption, about the most trivial in life, then we say that we have trivialized our own existence. If Allah Azza wa Jalla had put you on this earth meaning simply to eat and drink, then you are worse than an animal, because animals know Allah Azza wa Jalla. If Allah had put you on this earth to consume, meaning that what they want from you is to become a consumption machine. Keep buying because we want to make money off of you. The latest thing, buy this, and the next thing, and the next thing. And you're being taken advantage of. And they're stealing your life. Before they steal your money, they're stealing your life. Because they have you work day and night simply to pay what they want to sell you. That's a life that will be spent on earning money to simply spend it, thinking that this is happiness, And before you know it, you're dead. And so you lived your life simply chasing the latest fashion and the latest brands and the latest developments and technology. And that's what you spend your life doing, but you didn't do something with it. If you spend your life being trivialized by social media, where they create you as a person, where they create trends and they create ideas and they create challenges, and we move from one to the other and one to the other, and you're thinking naively that this is all natural and organic, but they're all manufacturing what you're looking at, manufacturing ideas, and you're absorbing all of these ideas and changing because of it, and becoming dumber because of it, and all along the way they're buying your time and selling your time, and you're the biggest loser and they're getting the biggest advantage, and you think that that is fine. And then when you want to express an opinion that is unpopular or goes against what they want, they ban you and they stop you and they restrict you. And then you understand that this is not a neutral field and somebody controls it and you're being controlled, but you don't realize that. And then you realize that you have spent your life on useless things. Wasted it. So the question again, what are you living for? And who is really, really afflicted? Who is the one who is really being tested? So when you find someone over there and they lose a son and they lose two, and at the moment when they hear that news, they praise Allah Azza wa Jalla, alhamdulillah that Allah had honored me with this. I hope that Allah will accept them as martyrs. I hope that Allah will do this and this. And this is not losing your wallet, and this is not losing some money. This is losing two of your children. When you see that level of patience and that level of iman reflected back to you, and you see us unable to process the simplest of losses, I lost my job, I lost this and I lost that, I'm depressed because of this, I'm anxious. And these are real complaints. I'm not downplaying that they are complaints. I'm saying, look at the difference. When you see the level of their iman and our iman, ask yourself this, who is the one who is really being tested and who is the one who is afflicted? Someone who believes in Allah Azza wa Jal and someone who had lost that and they can't handle this least of life's problems. When you see their children, he's about to lose his brother. And as that soul is leaving, he's telling his brother, say the shahada, La ilaha illallah Muhammadun Rasulullah, and keeps repeating that. When you see someone who is in the midst of that such ordeal and they are reciting the Quran, and their trust is with Allah Azza wa Jal, and their dua is to Allah Azza wa Jal, and then you look at us as young men and women, what do we focus on? What do we care about? Where is our iman then? When the only thing you care about is just fashion and travel and what the latest entertainment is, you realize that these are all narcotics. Like social media is a narcotic. Yeah, we're worried about drugs, yes. But you understand that movies are narcotics, because they dull the brain and they steal your attention and they steal your time. Movies, series, whether they come from the West or they come from the East, what they're presenting is poisonous. Sports. I don't mean by sports neighborhood sports. I mean by sports organized, televised, professional sports. This is narcotics as well. Because their intention is to not only amuse, but to distract. Here, watch this, and let your loyalty be to this team, against that team, and this person, against that person, and not only that, Be attached to this person, that athlete, that superstar, and follow them on social media, and buy their stuff, and buy the tickets, and do this, and you become this very trivial, empty person. So Allah Azza wa Jal put you on this earth to become a fan of someone. Right? A fan, like a tail that follows them. A loyalty that is fake. You champion a jersey. Or you champion the owner of that team and the profits that they're making, and you're losing money. And you think that's life. No, that's another drug that we're taking. Allah Azza wa Jal had given you very limited time on this earth. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, اغتنم خمسا قبل خمس. You take advantage of five before other fives come to you. شبابك قبل حرمك. Take advantage of your young age before you get old. وصحتك قبل سقمك. And your health before you become sick. وفراغك قبل شغلك. And your free time before you become too busy. وغناك قبل فقرك. And your wealth before you become poor. وحياتك قبل موتك. And your life before your death. Meaning that all of this is a ni'mah. So if Allah Azza wa Jal had given you free time and you want to waste it, and given you money and you want to waste it, and health and you want to waste it, understand that these things do not last. Now you're able to do something great with them. What are you doing with them? As long as you have a breath left in you, you're able to do something with your life. So what is it that you're doing with your life? And again, are we the ones who are left behind, who are afflicted, who are miserable, unfortunate, or the ones who are being bombed? Because at least for the one who is being bombed, they know right from wrong. They know what to do. They know what is fake and what is real. But everybody else who's outside, they don't know the difference between fake and real anymore. So what is your life going to amount to now and after all this ends? If you're going to live for yourself, for consumption, for entertainment, if you are going to be lost to alcohol and to drugs, tell me, what is the greatest loss? Somebody who dies in bombardment, or somebody who is lost to a drug? What is the greatest loss here? Somebody who willingly drinks himself to death, or somebody who is martyred by an enemy of Allah Azza wa Jal? Who is the winner and who is the loser? Who should we feel sorry for? We should feel sorry for ourselves who still cannot see reality. Where is our loyalty? You saw on the one hand, over there, I mean worldwide, that when this happened, those of the same ilk, of the same thinking, all united behind the aggressor. Unconditional support. And that is natural. Here is money, here is advice, here is consultation, here is this and here is that. And that in itself should wake you up to understand the reality between what they say and what they do. Now, where is our unity, our wala and bara, behind what Allah Azza wa Jalla loves? To support the victims, but not only support the victims, to understand that whatever has been produced by those who oppose Allah and His Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam no longer will find a place in my life. Am I going to watch the same actor or listen to the same entertainer who supported that act? Will I continue to consume what they produce? Will I continue to believe the propaganda of the countries that have supported that act? Will you still subscribe to it? Will you still live the way that they live rather than the way that Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam wants you to live? Will you not stand to support your brothers and your sisters? Not only with dua, And dua is essential. But we don't want to say dua and then you stop as if you've done everything that you're supposed to do. Because you can do something more than dua. And you can do something more than money. And that is, you could change yourself, and I can change myself, so I'm not a follower, a subject, subservient to those who hate Allah and the Messenger. I do not think like them. I do not live like them. I don't act like them. But you live and you act the way that Allah Azza wa Jal wants you. And your imam is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. So if somebody asks you, what are you living for? The answer should be to please Allah Azza wa Jal as long as I'm alive. To find every opportunity to win Jannah and escape from hellfire. Because all of this is going to end. Whether a bomb drops and it takes all of it from you, or life gradually takes it all from you. Because life, as it had taken their husbands and their wives and their children and them, will also take that all from you. And as it had taken their houses, it will take your house away from you. Except that they could see it and we can't. So I ask Allah Rabbil Alameen to make us of those who learn from what they see and change because of it. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم فاستغفروه. الحمد لله حمدا كثيرا طيبا مباركا فيه وأصلي وأسلم على رسوله محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. Sometimes it is a ni'mah, a great ni'mah from Allah Azza wa Jal to receive these reminders and these afflictions because they are supposed to wake us up. And one of the things maybe perhaps that we should learn from them is also how they produce children who understand where they stand and what they're supposed to do. When you hear them close to the Quran, close to Allah Azza wa Jal, strong, despite all these adversities, you understand that we also have opportunity to produce these children. But that requires an involved and committed parents. It requires that we, as parents, we mirror the ideals, we mirror the beliefs that we're asking our children to adopt. It's not enough for me to tell my child, believe A, B, C, and D. And simply because of that, they'll end up believing it. It's not enough as a parent that you would take your child to the weekend school or to the Islamic school and you think that somehow you've done your job and your job is fulfilled when you do this. Your job is to be the mentor, to be the friend, to be their confidant, to be their example. Your job is, if you want them to believe La ilaha illallah Muhammadun Rasulullah, that you believe it and you live it. If you want them to read the Quran and be connected to it, your job is to do that. Your job is to show them how Iman is in real life. To teach them, to be next to them, to be feel you're responsible for them. And as a father, you're abandoning your responsibility when you think that it's the mother's job. That's it. She'll raise them. You need to be present and you need to be involved, and without you, they will lose an important influence in their life. So you are, and we are, responsible for the children that we produce. But if I'm lost and I don't have a goal and I only care about hanging out with my friends and gossiping with my sisters and eating and drinking and I neglect the kids, then you're not going to like the results that you see in a few years. So let's wake up and let's focus on our children in ways that produce people that please Allah Azza wa Jal. People who can carry the responsibility of Islam in the future. People who, when you see, they will increase your iman rather than sap it and take it away from you. But you need to focus on them. And you need to understand that your responsibility is great and it's grave. This is your most important thing in life. So give it the attention that it needs. And pray for your children. And pray for yourself. And wake them up by being awake. And teach them before a lecture through example. But we need to learn a lot more and practice a lot more for that to be the case. So we need to change and we need to wake up. And that should be what's happening. That should be a wake-up call for all of us. Because these things, if they happen with such intensity and with such a callous lack of sympathy, then understand that something similar to it can repeat itself easily. And then onward and onward and onward. So no one is going to save you unless Allah saves you. And then after that, you save yourself. No amount of pleading with outside forces is going to help unless Allah Azza wa Jal changes what is in us. And only when that happens, things will change. So ask Allah, Arham al-Rahimeen, Rabb al-Alameen. We ask you, Ya Rabb al-Alameen, to protect the people of Gaza and Palestine and Asham and save them from all harm. We ask you, Ya Rabb al-Alameen, that you would give them food and drink and medicine and clothing, that you would protect them, Ya Rabb al-Alameen, from all harm, that, Ya Rabb, you accept their dead as martyrs, that you will heal their sick, that you will comfort their hearts, that you support them with aid from you, with soldiers from you, Ya Arham al-Rahimeen. We ask you, Ya Rabb al-Alameen, that you would make them steadfast upon this faith, upon what pleases you. We ask you, Ya Rabb al-Alameen, that you aid them with an aiding and helping from you, Ya Rabb al-Alameen. We ask you, Ya Rabb al-Alameen, that you would repel the aggression of the aggressors. Ya Allah, we ask you that you would return their plot against them. We ask you, Ya Rabb al-Alameen, that you protect us from their harm. We ask you, Ya Rabb al-Alameen, that you will spoil their plots and their trickery. We ask you, Ya Rabb al-Alameen, to make us of those who have transformed and changed because of what they have seen. Allow us, Ya Rabb al-Alameen, to increase in iman, and increase in taqwa, increase in caring for what happens to our brothers and sisters. Do not make us of those who live trivial lives and who have trivialized their existence. Allahumma ansur, Allahumma ansur, Allahumma ansur ahla Gaza, Ya Rabb al-Alameen. Allahumma ansurhum ala man adahum. Allahumma ahfadhum min kulli su'in, Ya Rabb al-Alameen, Ya Arham al-Rahimeen. Allahumma at'imhum wa asqihim. Allahumma ashfi mardahum. Allahumma dawihim. Allahumma ansurhum binasrim min عندك يا رب العالمين اللهم رد بأس وكيد عدوهم في نحرهم يا رب العالمين واجعل تدبيرهم تدميرهم وفرق جمعهم وأطش صوابهم اللهم اكفناهم بما شئت فإنهم لا يعجزونك 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 اللهم أنجي المستضعفين في غزة وفلسطين وسائر بلاد المسلمين اللهم اجعلنا ممن نصرهم يا رب العالمين اللهم اجعلنا ممن نصرهم ولم يخذلهم رب العالمين اللهم اجعلنا ممن نصرهم ولم يخذلهم رب العالمين اللهم زدنا إيمانا وتقا وعفافا وغنى وردنا إليك ردا جميلا اللهم نسألك الجنة وما قرب إليها من قول وعمل ونعوذ بك من النار وما قرب إليها من قول وعمل ونسألك أن نتبع هدي نبيك صلى الله عليه وسلم ونعوذ بك من الشرك والنفاق والمحدثات والبدع والهوى يا رب العالمين اللهم نعوذ بك من الفتن ما ظهر منها وما بطن ونعوذ بك من وساوس الشياطين ونعوذ بك من الشبهات والشهوات اللهم ردنا إلى دينك ردا جميلا يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك نستغيث أصلح لنا شأننا كله ولا تكلنا إلى أنفسنا طرفة عين وأقم الصلاة.